Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Rooster Crows podcast. It's now the season of Easter, which means that the scripture readings recount what Jesus was doing after he was resurrected from the dead. None of these stories are what we expect. They aren't even what his disciples expect. In some of the accounts, angels say Jesus will meet his followers in Galilee. Then suddenly he shows up a few minutes later near Jerusalem. Today's sermon examines his last appearance in the Gospel of John when he appears on the shore, having prepared a meal of fish and bread for his followers, who are off in a boat fishing. Most of the story focuses on his lead disciple Peter, with whom he has instructions for what he expects next. It's an example of how leadership and succession planning works, something we should consider in our time too, as the political landscape has shifted towards leaders who are more inclined to give orders than listen to advice. Here's my sermon entitled, Feed My Sheep. Last week I was on vacation. My wife and I traveled up to Algonquin Park to do some spring hiking. We walked a bunch of trails we had done before, and each one of them was more challenging than when we had done them in the summer. The trails were a mess. The spring thaw had begun, so streams and creeks were washing out the trail at regular intervals. There was snow on the ground all over the place, and for one trail, it actually snowed for about 4 hours. And often, on these trails, there was no clear way to get across to the other side when a river had decided to take over the trail. We learned to take a deep breath and simply assume there was a way across. And when we did that, we would see the path ahead of us in a different way. What seemed to be a total washout became a subtle path of rocks and roots that were just barely sticking out above the rushing water. Those became our trail, as we said out loud, rock, 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 root, ice, rock, root, ground. A path appeared where there seemed to be no path at all. And we got to the other side without ever falling into the water. In today's gospel reading, the disciples have lost the path too. They thought they knew what they were doing by following Jesus. He was the Messiah, he had powers from God, and he was going to lead a revolution to rescue the Jews from the Romans. But his death washed away that path. So now they're living in the time of his resurrection. In last week's readings, he appeared to the disciples as himself, holes and wounds and all. Doubting Thomas poked him in the side. But what should they do now that Jesus is back? What's the plan? Where do they go next? They have no idea. So they do the obvious. They go back to doing what they did before they followed Jesus. They go fishing. This is how they made a living before. But in ordinary life, fishing isn't easy. Some nights you get lucky, and other nights you don't. And this has been one of those unlucky nights. Until Jesus shows up. He tells them to try casting their nets on the other side of the boat. Bingo. Peter is the first to recognize that this stranger on the shore is the resurrected Jesus, even though Jesus looks different. Peter runs through the water to greet him. But Jesus and Peter have some unfinished business. On the night of Christ's arrest, he had asked Peter and the others to stay awake while he prayed, but they fell asleep. And when Jesus was taken into court, Peter followed, staying in the courtyard. But when he was asked if he knew Jesus, he denied it 3 times. Jesus had told his followers he would make Peter the foundation of the movement. Peter's name actually means rock. But under pressure, he has abandoned Jesus and wasn't even present at the cross for Christ's greatest suffering. So Jesus has every reason to be mad at Peter and even take away his role as leader. But that's not what happens. Instead, Jesus asks Peter if he loves him. He asks this not once, but 3 times. And by the 3rd time, Peter is annoyed. But this questioning by Jesus is to make sure that Peter loves Jesus enough to wipe away all the denials. Jesus is without ego. He's not offended by Peter's denials. He has no ego to bruise, no hurt feelings to heal. Instead, what matters most is that Peter recommit himself to following Jesus and his message of love. And let's note what Jesus wants from Peter. Three times he says to Peter, "Feed my sheep. Feed those who follow me." Jesus is presenting a model of what leadership looks like. He says, "If you want to love me, then take care of those who follow me. Feed them." True leadership means being a servant to others. Peter will be expected to tell the stories of Jesus to everyone who will listen. He should serve Christ's followers by feeding them with the stories and teachings of Jesus to people who didn't know Jesus or only knew him a little. And we know that Peter did do this. In the book of Acts, we're told that Peter becomes the first leader of the Jesus movement after Jesus leaves. Peter, like Paul, writes letters, some of which are in the New Testament. And Peter becomes the first bishop of Rome. We are living at a time when many world leaders claim to be shepherds who will serve their people, but really have other plans in mind. All over the world, authoritarian leaders come to power claiming that they will help the working class. In Poland, in Hungary, in Russia, in South America, and now in the United States, leaders seek office claiming that they will help solve the economic struggles of the working and middle classes. But once in power, they set about amassing power and wealth for themselves. They follow policies designed to benefit the rich and rob from the poor. We are witnessing the most serious threat to democracy since the Second World War. So this is a time when we must be very clear about what leadership means. It used to be obvious that political leaders were meant to be public servants. They were expected to serve the people who elected them. In our most recent Canadian election, Prime Minister Mark Carney promised to serve all Canadians on election night, not just the ones who voted for his party. However, in recent years, other would-be kings and dictators have chosen to divide their populations into real and so-called fake citizens. In the United States, the current president wants to find a way to deport people who were born in the U.S. but have foreign-born parents. He wants to declare that just because someone was born in the United States, they are not actually a citizen, not one of us, a policy that recalls the status of slaves in the 19th century. The government wants to make a distinction between so-called real Americans, who have been present for generations, and so-called fake Americans, who are newcomers and can't be trusted and should be deported. This divide-and-conquer tactic is simply a way to create a state of constant civil unrest, which will generate paranoia, fear, and division. The government will present itself as the only way to protect the country from these so-called invaders, these fake citizens. In other countries that have pursued this kind of policy, this has led to a police state and the end of real elections. That was considered impossible in America, but now seems more plausible than ever. American experts on fascism have been moving to Toronto to take up teaching positions at U of T because they know where this is headed. When the government chooses to serve only some of the people, and not all of the people, everyone is in trouble, and democracy crumbles. The resurrected Jesus presents a different model of leadership. He was killed by the Roman government, but he does not seek revenge. He doesn't draw up a list of people who betrayed him and seek to punish them. Instead, he appears to his followers, and he makes peace with them. He offers them food and a better haul of fish. He offers them bread and fish, an obvious allusion to the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Where there is love, there is always more than enough for everyone. and Jesus does not berate Peter. He simply asks him to recommit to the mission, to love and compassion. And then Jesus asks Peter not to gather power for himself, but to feed Christ's sheep. He asks for a form of selfless leadership. But what does it mean to feed Christ's sheep? The way Jesus puts it, it's clear that the sheep belong to Jesus, not to Peter. So Peter will be saved from thinking that he's the new Messiah. He will share the stories and teachings of Jesus. Secondly, Peter is not to serve himself or his best friends. He is to serve Christ's sheep. This will be a selfless form of leadership. But how should they feed Christ's sheep? Well, in the beginning, a big part of it was literally feeding them. We know from early records that Christians used to meet in houses, often before or after work hours, and they came to worship with food. These were known as agape meals, love feasts, where everyone brought food. During what we would call communion, everyone who had food would come up to the front table. Raw meat, chickens, vegetables, fruit, loaves of bread would be brought forward. It would be blessed and eaten in Christ's name. Some of it was put aside to be distributed to the poor, widows and orphans, as well as Christians who were in prison. And even when the very first churches, the basilicas, were built, people would bring food forward for the poor before communion was celebrated. It would be like having congregants now bring up cans of food and cuts of meat and vegetables and fruit right up to the front table at the beginning of a church service. This was the start of the Christian practice of providing food for the poor. To this day, many churches run food banks and soup kitchens when they're located near the poor. Our church, Lawrence Park Community Church, is in a wealthy neighborhood. So instead of providing food here, we participate in out-of-the-cold programs where food is taken downtown to serve the homeless. When we have leftovers, we take it to a youth shelter called Eva's Place. Our congregation's donations have helped the food bank across the street at Glendon College, and we've helped African refugees in Toronto with food and rice cookers and baby supplies. The spirit of serving others continues. And this all started with Christ's instruction to Peter, "Feed my sheep." Peter became known as the first bishop of Rome. Today, we call that position the Pope. And 2 weeks ago, Pope Francis died. He was devoted to serving the poor in a way other popes have not been. He chose not to live in the grand papal apartment, but to live in the guest house. When I was in Rome last summer, a guide told me that before Pope Francis was installed, St. Peter's Square used to be full of homeless people. When Francis became Pope, he instructed Vatican officials to bring them food and water to help them. Then they got to know the homeless and found them places to live. He had a shelter opened within the Vatican grounds. The Pope also supported creating a medical clinic for the homeless in St. Peter's Square, replacing what was then the Vatican Post Office. 6 years ago, he commissioned an artwork from the Canadian artist Timothy P. Schmaltz. It depicts refugees, migrants, and indigenous people in a boat seeking safety. It has angels' wings sticking out from inside the group. And when critics said that the modern art didn't match the Renaissance style of the rest of St. Peter's Square, the artist replied, "That doesn't matter. It matches the message of the gospel." This week, the Catholic Church will probably choose a new pope. And there are fears that the cardinals will choose a more conservative and less pastoral pope. I hope that they will remember Christ's instruction to Peter, "Feed my sheep." As Christians, we all need to remember that Jesus expects us to look after each other in his name. To feed each other with love, with kindness, with spiritual education, and with physical help. True leadership serves others, especially the most vulnerable. For when the weak are taken care of, all will prosper in body and soul. It is in this way that we, like Peter, show that we really love Christ and that we will feed his sheep. If we do this, we will always find a path, even when it seems that the trail has been washed away. Amen. Thanks for listening today. My name is Stephen Milton, and I'm the lead minister at Lawrence Park Community Church. We're a progressive church in North Toronto. If you'd like to learn more about our church and the things that we do, please visit our YouTube channel, which features recordings of entire services, recorded Bible studies, and more. You can also go to our website at www.lawrencepark.church.ca. And as we finish this podcast, we're going to hear the postlude that our music director, Dr. Daniel Rubinov, played this past Sunday at the end of the service. It being May the 4th, Star Wars Day, he decided to play some variations on Star Wars theme music. I hope you enjoy them. Peace.